session number 28645, row 3.
Dan, you were talking about these odd pupils.
Yes,
and
we
this
had
poor girl
odd.
With syphilis.
We had one or two day girls from the village, from the town.
Yes.
Yes, she always had unfortunate rashes coming out on her. I simply can't understand how they allowed her loose among us, you know, and why we didn't catch it. Extraordinary.
But I don't know. Fortunately, it's not a subject on which I'm very well versed.
No, nor I. But I knew there was something desperately wrong with her, and I used to avoid her as much as possible. Oh, as I was saying, years later when we went on our cruise and we went to the pyramids and there were all the camels lined up as they are and for rides for the tourists. And I took one look at the camel they offered me, and I said to my mother, that camel's got bugs. And I did the whole line of camels. How old was I? 17, 18. I did the whole line, and I picked out two that didn't have these eggs in them, and I had a look at every single saddle. And I didn't know anything about camels and bugs. First time I'd seen one. I've always had that instinct against anything that's wrong with somebody. Anyway, so to get back, yes, well, that was the school. And one of the mistresses, she had a dreadful eruption on her face. And she had been rather beautiful. And one day, I was in the library and I was looking at various books and I found a love letter to her, and she'd come out with this thing later on. I think it must have been nervous, and it was just completely red. Of course she'd have been cured now, I mean one would have given her antibiotics, and I think she suffered from this very badly. And the other one was ice cold. I think she was, something must have happened to her, I think, in her youth. And she just shut up. She was very, very cold and very brilliant. But between them, and the one with the red face was very sarcastic. And between them, they weren't a good pair, really, for children. Anyhow, the teaching was good, so that was that. My father insisted I should go there, and my mother had nothing to say about it. And then a rather extraordinary thing happened, which of course couldn't happen nowadays. We used to go in a crocodile to church. And we used to sit in a certain pew, fairly far forward. And one day, the gaze of one of the choir boys and mine met. We rather liked the look of each other. And then he started writing letters to me. And on the way home from church, we had to go through a very narrow pathway, not wider than that, with brick wall on each side.
Yes, 3 feet wide.
I wouldn't know.
you've gone like that.
There was just room for two people to pass.
Right.
But they'd touch each other in passing. Ideal for passing letters. So that went on for a while, and then the school...
He wrote first.
I've no idea. Yes, I imagine so. Mm. And then after that, one of the girls from the township volunteered to bring the letters, so that was that. So that carried on, and then...
Suzanne, what age were you?
12.
Now, do carry on. You were going to say one of the other girls.
So, yes, she used to. And the maid used to carry letters for us as well. And it was the most innocent affair you could possibly imagine. In fact, you probably couldn't imagine it now. Then the grounds of the house where the school was, they were rather convenient because there was a tennis court and a stretch of ground. Then there was a nice high hedge, and beyond that there was a vegetable garden. And at the top of the garden there was a bank, which was hidden from the house. So we decided we were going to meet, and there was a lake as well. So I managed to go along the bank, into the vegetable garden, down behind the hedge, ducking, and which led me to the lake. And the lake faced onto the main road on the other side. So he would come on by the main road, and I would come by the vegetable garden. And the edge of the lake was all grown over with ancient laurels. And some of these laurels had very convenient boughs, which made a seat. And so we sat on one of these and held hands, and that was all that happened. And we were totally immersed in each other. And we held hands for as long as we dared. And then we each went home. So, that went on for a while. And we were blissfully happy. It was absolutely exquisite. There wasn't the smallest hint of sex about it. It was totally happily spiritual. And then one of the girls from the township gave us away. Then things really blew up, because neither of those good missionaries could understand that any such thing could possibly happen without its being violently evil. Terrible it was. So they had me up, lectured me soundly, got in touch with the boy's parents, lectured them soundly. The boy was 18.
Yeah. He was 18?
Mm.
Oh, that is a bit different. You're 12.
Mm. But he was as innocent as the day is long. Totally innocent, both of us. I don't think we knew about sex.
Well, you must have been quite a precocious 12.
Yes, I'm telling you. See, I was brought up by my mother and these missionaries at home until I was 8. I was far in advance of my age. But not to the extent of knowing the first thing about sex. Neither of us knew anything about sex. It just wasn't a concept. It was just this lovely feeling of being happy together and holding hands, and that was it. I don't think that's understandable these days. I think it's beyond the comprehension of the modern mind. Anyway, they had me up and lectured me, and then they said this was terrible, and oh dear, and they set up a silly little replica of the disgracing of an officer in the army. They had the whole school, for what it was worth, collected in the room, and I was in a circle, and I was stood up in the middle, and I was divested of the school brooch and any other insignia in front of these people, and publicly disgraced. I hadn't done anything wrong. It was terrible. Then I got in touch with my parents. They said I was a disgrace to the school, and they were thinking of expelling me.
From the school that your father had helped set up?
That's right. So my parents wrote back and said, don't bother, we're taking her away. So they took me away. But it wasn't much better, because I can still remember the evening when my mother said that my father... I've got a letter from my father, he wrote to me at that time. A whole rigmarole of this boy being after my money. We hadn't much money anyhow. I mean, it was perfect nonsense. That I must remember that people would want to make advances to me in order to get hold of my money, and that I would ruin my life, that I must consider going through school, and I would ruin my chances of going to university, and I would ruin all my chances of a career if I did things like that. And about 6 pages of this, I mean, it was totally beyond my comprehension. I couldn't understand anything about that. It was ridiculous. As far as I was concerned, all I'd done was to hold hands with somebody. I'd be very happy doing it. And I was a total innocent. And so was he. I mean, he was just as innocent as I was. His love was music. He was studying music to go into an orchestra. And so I was traipsed along to his parents' house, and we were allowed 10 minutes to say goodbye. And then I was taken home, and then my mother said, did I have any letters from him? So I said, yes. So she took the letters, and she said, gave me a gentle lecture on the same theme as my father. And she made me burn those letters one page by page, which I think was about the cruelest thing she could have done. They were such gentle letters. They were such innocent letters. There wasn't a thing in them that wasn't innocent and sweet and kind. And she made me burn them page by page.
Had she read them?
I don't know. And goodness, it can even make me feel sad now. It was a dreadful thing to do. What harm just to let me keep the letters? No harm at all. So I don't think that did me any good. And then they ploughed around, decided to send me to the school my aunt had gone to, which was Rodine. A very excellent school.
You're now 13, really, aren't you? Just able to go.
I went in 36, I think. I left in 36.
Left in 36.
I was just under 17. I was going to be 17 during the holidays after I left. So I was still 16 when I left in July.
If you were 16,
you
were born in 1915, so you're 20 in 1935, so you'd have left in 1931 if you were 16.
Yes, hang on, I think I'm getting mixed up with when I went to Egypt. Left in 33, I think. Anyhow, I was 16. It was July 16 I left school.
So that's when you left, Rodine. What age were you when you went?
I think I was there 2.5 years.
so you'd have been about 13 and a half.
Yes. True. It was straight away after leaving the other school. And I hated it. And I hated school. I mean, I found the girls so silly. They were all so brash, so young, so undeveloped somehow. Anyhow, my father said to me, he said, if you don't pass your exams, you'll stay there. Well, that was enough to spur me on. And I got an honor certificate throughout my school certificate, every subject. So I was allowed to leave. Actually, I didn't know what was good for me. I should have stayed on into the sixth form. I don't know, life would have been very different. If I'd done that, then I'd have gone on to Oxford. It would have been a totally different life. Very, very circumscribed. Not all the occurrences that did happen and all the variety, and I'd have had none of that. Probably married a professor or something. So probably.
Or become one yourself.
Or become one myself, yes. No, I think it was much more exciting the way it happened.
So you got an honours certificate at 16, which would have been about 1931.
Yes, I got honours and matric exemption and all the things one got.
Yes.
I got the highest thing possible. Got a nice congratulation from my maths mistress. I hated maths. I could never really get my head round maths, particularly algebra. I thought algebra was just silly because you kept saying it was something that it wasn't and then proving that it was. And I didn't see eye to eye with that at all. I thought algebra was foolish. I hated maths, but in my last year before my school certificate, I was in the certificate class, Miss Ford. She was over 6 feet. She had a crown of the most gorgeous iron grey hair. She was a very handsome woman. She had a violent temper. And if you didn't get things right, she threw books at you. And I adored her. I thought she was absolutely wonderful. And I got honours in my maths. And she wrote me a lovely letter. Congratulations afterwards. She was a gorgeous woman, absolutely gorgeous. Yes. So then I left. Then my mother decided it would be a good thing if we travelled. And in those days, her very small income from the houses which her parents had left her in Sheffield, and that was a mistake, of course. It was a terrible mistake. There were three children. There was the eldest son, and then my mother, and then the youngest son. And my mother adored her younger brother. Whenever she was naughty, well, she never was naughty, for heaven's sake, but if she, they threatened her that if by any chance she should be naughty, because she wasn't naughty, so she couldn't threaten that because she'd been naughty, because she never was, poor little thing. And they'd always threatened to send this little boy to a home so that she wouldn't see him anymore. That was cruel, you know. That was cruel. It was terrible. So every time when they thought she might possibly step out of line, they'd threaten to send him to a home. Anyhow, so he was killed in the war, and that altered her life for good.
He being?
Marden, the younger brother.
The younger brother was killed in the Great War.
Yeah. And he was not only killed, but he died a very long and painful death. He was in a shell crater, and they couldn't get to him to bring him back into the lines. And he lay dying for hours. And
his name was Marden.
Marden Beebe.
M-A-R-D-E-N.
D-O-N.
D-O-N.
B-W-E-B-Y, that was my mother's career.
B-W-E-B-Y.
Yes, that was my mother's
maiden name.
Maiden name. And the Guardian, Mrs. Nicholson, heard the details of how he died. They were sent to her, presumably because she was in England, my mother was in India. And she saw fit to describe the whole thing to my mother. She never got over it.
Your mother would have been, she'd be older than her brother, so she, yes, she would be in her 20s.
Yes, she was married and had me by then.
Right.
But she never got over that. It was the one person outside me whom she loved as deeply as that. And she lost somebody. Oh, and he was... Men were so peculiar in those days. I'm not sure they're not peculiar now. I think we're all peculiar in our way. But they were so unsympathetic, so unfeeling. And I got a letter from her to Marden when he was considering courting. And he used to write these pompous letters about whether this woman was suitable or not. Honestly, there was nothing about being passionately in love or anything like that. Whether she was suitable and so on. And my mother wrote to him and said, when you get married, will you still please put me first? And he wrote another pompous letter back that he would not, of course, consider such a thing. He would have to put his wife first. Well, he could have lied. He knew how my mother felt. He could have said, of course, you'll come first all my life, I adore you. But no. No. He took after his father, I think. He was going to be a minister, definitely.
Going to be a minister, did you say?
Yes, he'd have been a minister for sure. Because they were Methodists, of course. So that altered her life for good, and she never got over that.
When you say she never got over it, people's lives continue. It marks them, but people's lives continue.
Well, of course, apart from committing suicide, you've got to continue. But your life is altered. There are some things that alter your life for good. Definitely altered hers. And I think she transferred a lot of that feeling onto me, and she loved me more than was good for her.
You were her only child?
Yes. Yes. You can be loved too much. It's quite a weight. Anyway, that's what happened. Where were we before we... I keep digressing.
That's all right. Where we were was, you have left Rodine.
Oh, yes.
Your mother decided to go...
My mother decided we
travel
should
with
travel.
With a small amount of income left to her from houses in Sheffield.
That's... Oh, yes, that was how I got onto it, because the parents left... they left the houses to Harry and Marden and my mother, divided into three, and Marden, pompous ass, I shouldn't say that, should I? He's probably a very good man. He left his part to his brother, because my mother was married. It was that was the way you looked at things in those days. She's married, so She's looked after. She doesn't need independence. And if she'd had that bit of extra, I think she'd have gone to university. She'd been able. Anyhow, travel was very cheap in those days. One didn't have much money, but it went a long way. So she decided we were going to travel.
Can I interrupt? What made her decide that? She has a 16-year-old daughter.
Because she was a traveller.
Right. Okay.
She was spiritually a traveller. All the time I was at school, she used to go popping off to Italy and buying furniture and old books and pictures. And she used to travel quite a bit while I was at school. She had one wonderful experience. She had several. But she'd bought some things in Venice, and she needed to get to Milan to catch the train north, because you didn't fly in those days, to catch the train to Paris and back home. And she had boxes of books and pictures and things that she'd bought and furniture. And the train broke down between Verona and Milan. So she looked out of the window, and there was a track nearby, and there was a horse and cart on it. So out she got, and she tackled the man with the horse and said, "Can you get me to Milan?" So he looked at her a bit askance, and then he said, "Yes, sure, it'll cost so much." So she said, "Right." So she got him to transfer her baggage onto the cart, and off they went. And she said she had to get there by a certain time in order to make the train. And so there they were, roaring along with this old farm cart horse, pulling the cart and things dropping off the back at the same time. She caught the train, but after that there was a most lovely period of letters from this good man. He went back along that track and he picked up all the things that had dropped off the cart and wrote to her to tell her what was there and should he send them on. And so every now and again one got a dear little package with another piece of lost property. And the letters in the English that the letters were written in was absolutely divine. Anyhow, she caught her train. Where was I? Yes, we were going to travel. Well, she was a great traveller. She was deeply into travel. She loved travel and languages and people. And so she decided she'd better start me off. So we started off in September. And it was the time of the... We went to Cologne first. It was my first big foreign cathedral.
So you start in September 31 or 32?
Whatever it was.
Okay, 31, shall we say.
Let's get it
out. Yep.
I don't think that we're going to get all dates exact.
No. It's just that I need a date from time to time just to put use it as a peg.
Well, no, I left at 16.
Yes.
So
That's 31.
So that's 31, isn't it? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be it, yes.
September 31.
Yeah, September 31. So we went to Cologne. We had a very strange experience in Cologne. We were wandering around, and we both of us, we loved churches and so on. And we were going up one road, and we heard a Vespers in going on. So we decided to go into the church, which we did. And it was an absolutely exquisite little church. It was completely lined with gold mosaic. And they were doing Vespers, which we loved best of all. And so we stayed till the end of Vespers, and then we left. And when we got back to the hotel, what was the famous hotel we stayed at? And the next morning we asked about this church, so they said, well, We don't know. We can't really direct you unless you've got the name of the street. So we started a hunt for the church. And we did the whole of Cologne. We did every street, we did every church, we did every chapel. We did everything we could possibly find in the way of a religious institution, and we never found that church. We never found it again. It's very strange. But it did actually happen, and it was, it happened. It must have been a ghost church.